Chapter 65. A simple lunch was delivered to Durzo's room, and Kylar and Durzo ate together in silence. "Guess you should head to your room, huh?" Durzo said. "They should be here any time." He cleared his throat, reaching for a garlic pouch he no longer carried. "I'd give anything to see you meet your girl," Kylar said. "I'd give anything to see you meet yours," Durzo said. Kylar swallowed, realizing he was pacing. "You can feel her?" Durzo asked. "3 floors up, heading down. Almost as nervous as I am. I knew there was a reason I was never stupid enough to get ringed," Durzo said. "Do you have any idea how Uli's going to react when she sees you?" Kylar asked. Durzo shook his head. "Then maybe you should shut your face." "Aw, wook, whittle Kylie is all gwoed up. He mad at his massa." In a flash, Kylar was on the verge of punching Durzo's face. Then he laughed. "Unbelievable, huh? I guess I'll go over to my room. Good luck." Durzo patted his back as he walked out of the room. It was an oddly intimate gesture, but Kylar said nothing to draw Durzo's attention to it. His room was even smaller than Durzo's, which barely had room for 2 chairs. Kylar's had only 1 chair and a bed. Kylar sat in the chair. Then he moved to sit on the bed. Then he stood so he could open the door before she even knocked. Then he changed his mind and sat again. He cursed. She was just down the hall now, and she stopped, dropping Uli off at Durzo's room. Uli and Vi were together. Vi didn't seem to feel upset or guilty, which was weird, considering she'd kidnapped Uli, beaten her, and starved her only a few months ago. Then Vi was moving again, as tense as he was. Kylar stood to open the door. There was a quick, firm rap, and then she opened the door. But Vi wasn't alone. Sister Ariel and another woman of a similar age but with long blonde hair stepped into the room, and Vi followed. For the tiny room, it was too many people, even if 3 of them hadn't been Magi. Kylar backed up to the wall. "Kyle Blackson? This is Speaker Esteriel Wyant. She's in charge here," Sister Ariel said. "Nice to meet you," Kylar said. "Here the guest quarters, or here, here?" "I'm the Speaker of the Chantry," Esteriel said, annoyed. "Then why aren't you the chanter?" Kyle asked. What was it with him? That had Durzo written all over it. And Vi's eyes went wide. Esteriel's lips thinned.
"We have problems, young man. They may even be bigger than your ego."
"Why are we meeting here rather than your office?" Kylar asked. She blinked.
"What was it you said, Ariel? Reckless but not stupid?"
"Kyle, the Chantry and all of the South is entering a perilous time. We need Vi's help if we are to survive."
"You do?" Vi asked. "Silence, child," Sister Ariel said.
"All of this was supposed to happen much more slowly," Esteriel told Vi. "We meant to give you some semblance of a normal tutelage, because the service we require of you entails serious risks for you and the Chantry. The bare fact is that you may be..."
Sister Ariel cleared her throat.
"You are the most talented woman to come to the Chantry in a century, Vi. You were married before you arrived, so your marriage is not in violation of the 3rd Alateran Accord. A woman's talent isn't enough to guarantee her advancement, but a highly talented woman is always conspicuous. Thus, you're highly visible, highly talented, and married to a man who's also highly talented, and your marriage is not in breach of any treaty."
"Huh,"
Vi said.
What are the odds of that happening by chance? She stared pointedly at Ariel, who had the decency to blush.
Ysteriel cleared her throat. Yes, about that. Kyle, we never expected you to actually come here. In fact, Sister Ariel was adamant that you wouldn't.
I wasn't aware how susceptible you would be to Vi's charms, Ariel said blandly.
Kylar blushed.
That's not why I'm here.
But here you are, Ysteriel said. So you could destroy Vi, or at the very least, destroy her usefulness to the Chantry.
Which is why I get some truth, right? Still doesn't answer why you have to sneak around to meet me, Kylar said.
Ysteriel's eyes flashed. The Chantry has had a number of incidents involving Vysano wedding rings. A century ago, someone ringed a speaker against her will.
It's called ring rape, Ariel said.
Ysteriel turned a cold gaze on her sister.
Stop helping.
She turned back to Kylar. It was an attempt to subvert the entire Chantry in one stroke, and it came disastrously close to succeeding. That was only the most recent incident. There is enormous antipathy to forcible ringing.
So if I tattle, Vi's finished. Why do you care? Kylar asked.
There's no reason for us to be enemies, Ysteriel said.
I can think of one, he said, tugging his earring.
She averted her gaze. Magi have been forbidden to marry Magi for 200 years, Kyle. The Alataran Emperor, Dikolarais, feared we had established a breeding program to make archmages, so we could become the dominant force in world politics we once were. At the time, we were closely allied with the Men's Blue School, and the treaty required all the married magi to divorce. The men wanted to go to war, but the decision was the Speaker's, who was herself married to a Blue. She knew that they had no chance against the might of Alatera, and she signed the accord. The split with the men was acrimonious. Relations have been strained since then. To protect ourselves, and perhaps for many other reasons, including to stop the humiliating inspections of compliance, the Chantry has spread the prohibition of marriage to all men. Women who do marry are effectively finished. They are allowed no advancement within the orders. They are sometimes denied further schooling, and they are often the objects of ridicule. Nonetheless, for their own reasons, I suppose, many women choose this path.
How many? Kylar asked.
Half.
You lose half?
The only thing worse than losing them is getting them back the wrong way. There is a woman named Eris Buell, who has become the de facto leader of a large number of these women. They want to come back. They want to reject the Alataran Accords, maybe all of them. And they want to establish a men's school here. At heart, though, they just want to be sisters again. Our reports suggest that we may have more ex-Magi here this spring than Magi.
How many are you talking? Kylar asked.
8,000 to 10,000. While we have that many active sisters, ours are spread out throughout the world. If these chattel, these married sisters, arrive and demand to be readmitted and form their own order, we won't be able to deny them.
What happens if they do form an order? Kylar asked.
Most likely, they immediately hold a vote of no confidence and oust me, and put their leader in my place. At best, Eris Buell is angry, naive, and dangerous.
You want Vi to kill her?
Light blind me no, Sister Ysteriel said. We want Vi to replace her.
What? Vi asked.
You're more talented than she is. You're prettier, and you're not as angry.
Oh, you haven't seen Vi when she gets angry, Kylar said.
Neither of you, she snapped.
The point is, Sister Ariel said, Eris Buell doesn't lead the chattel yet. These women come from all over Midcryo. Most of them don't know each other. They'll look for a leader once they're here. There's more, Estheril. Tell them about the Calidorans. Even though Calidor doesn't occupy much of its eastern lands, they are still our neighbors, Estheril said. After Gareth died, an unknown named One Hope took the throne. We have reasons to doubt his rule will last. In the north, one of Gareth's other sons, Moburu, has joined up with the barbarians in the Frieze. They are rumored to have rediscovered how to raise armies of creatures that are less than human. Moburu is heading east, either to fight or to join another group which we think has about 50 Verdmeisters, led by a Lodrakari named Nefdada, at Black Barrow. The word is that he plans to raise a Titan. What's a Titan? It's a myth. We hope. But as the mistress of a floating island, I can only think of one compelling reason a Calidoran army would need a giant. You think they want to attack the Chantry? Vi asked. I think they're fools, Estheril said. But we only have a mercenary army of 500 men, and not a single battle major. If the Calidorans came through the pass with 20,000 soldiers and 100 Verdmeisters, even without Krull or a Titan, they could destroy us. Worse, the Lee Nort plan to march north at the same time. While there's a small and tempting prospect that our two enemies would converge and destroy each other before our eyes, if either attacked us first, even if we won, we would be so weakened that the other would annihilate us. So you want to turn the 10,000 chattel into an army so they can die saving women who reject them? Kylar said. There was an icy silence. I'm responsible for the lives of the women in my care, and the caretaker of the legacy of 1,000 years of learning and freedom, Estheril said. So if it costs Vi's life and her honor, and your life and your freedom, and my life and my reputation and a war with Alatera to save them, I will gladly pay that and more. Kyle, you can destroy my plans and your wife simply by telling the first major you see that you were ringed forcibly. I can't stop you. But neither can I free you. In the centuries when these rings were made, they were studied by magi greater than any now alive, and they found the bond unbreakable. You can ask anything for your silence, but you can't ask the impossible. So what's your price? Tell me exactly what you're buying, Kylar said. In the coming weeks, I've arranged to have very ugly and very public debate with some of my key counselors about the chattel. Ariel will be one of those who splits with me. I'm going to take a strong stance that the Chantry will never allow the chattel to rejoin. A few days later, some of the threats to our safety I've just told you about will be leaked. I will send to Alatera, asking for protection as per the accords. My request will be impossibly large, so that even if Alatera sends soldiers, the small number will be taken as an insult. Vi will begin training whoever wishes to join her and Sister Ariel in the arts of war. I will ban this training, but no action will be taken against those who defy me. If Vi plays her part appropriately, she'll have a good chance to become the leader of these rebels. Come spring, Vi will negotiate with me on behalf of the chattel. I will break down. The chattel will be readmitted with certain conditions, mostly that they reside here for at least a year before they are given full voting privileges. Which, Ariel interjected, will make sure that few of them actually do it. Most of these women have farms and shops and families to get back to. Yes, thank you, Ariel, Estheril said. But those who truly wish to rejoin will be allowed to do so and still stay married. After we make it through the summer, we will renegotiate the Alateran Accords. What's to say you won't sacrifice Vi to the Alaterans then? Kylar said.
Whatever goodwill she's built up with the chattel will probably make her untouchable. If I betray her, it could be enough to make enough chattel stick around to become full voting members and oust me. Regardless, the Alatarans are next year's problem.
So what's my part?
Kylar asked. You share a house with your wife. I don't care if you share a bed, but to all appearances it must be a model marriage. You will spend enough social time together to maintain this fiction, nothing elaborate. Eat at an inn together once in a while, take walks, hold hands.
Do you have any idea what it's like for me to be in the same room with her?
Kylar asked.
I'm in love with another woman, a woman I planned to marry. If I get aroused by a woman other than Vi, I nearly throw up. I can't control my dreams. I feel what she feels.
We can't fix it, Istariel said. Get rid of your old lover. Start sharing Vi's bed. After a while, you might even like each other.
You cruel, cruel bitch!
The thought was Kylar's, but it was Vi who spoke. He was stunned, as were Ariel and Istariel.
You want to pretend things are different? Go ahead, Istariel said.
You ringed him. Are you going to make thousands die so you can feel properly guilty?
Kyle, are you going to make thousands die so you can punish me or Sister Ariel? Is that going to make it better?
Because you'll still be ringed next year, no matter what happens to the Chantry.
Kyle, I'll give you whatever you want.
Vi, you'll have more power and a better position than you could ever dream of. In time, you could become Speaker.
It's your choice. You two figure it out and tell Sister Ariel. I can never be seen with you.
Should we ever meet, I expect you to act as if you dislike me intensely. I suspect that won't be difficult.
She opened the door, glanced both ways, and left.
Sister Ariel said, Eline will come to your new house in a few hours. The story will be that she's your servant.
I haven't said yes, Kylar said.
Sister Ariel looked at him gently for a long moment, then opened the door and went out.
So what do we do?
Vi asked. This close to her, Kylar was picking up flashes of images directly from her mind. There was Eline throwing a knife aside. Kylar saw himself flashing a grin, his handsomeness exaggerated. He saw himself reaching to touch her face gently. He saw himself holding her. He saw himself in the throne room, fierce and wild, slashing into Gareth or Sewell's head and saving Vi's life. He saw himself looking at her with horror as he discovered the earring. He saw himself above her, chest bare, muscles taut, his eyes locked on hers, pupils flaring. Then again, horror and loathing. Kylar looked at Vi, glad that she was wearing a shapeless sack of a white wool dress. But she was close enough that he could smell her. She wore no perfume. Perhaps her soap was lavender, but mostly he smelled her. And she smelled incredible. He saw Jarl go down in a sudden spray of blood. And then he saw the shot from her perspective, her tears almost blinding her as she released the arrow. He felt her self-hatred, her guilt, and whether the compulsion had been magical or mundane, he forgave her. It didn't need words. She felt it directly. Her eyes brimmed with tears. Kylar cleared his throat, glanced at her breasts involuntarily, and blushed as she noticed. The image of holding her naked came back again, and he wasn't sure which of them it came from.
Holy shit, he said.
She glanced at the narrow pallet against the wall, and quickly away, but the image couldn't be hidden. Kylar, on her, handsome, muscular, his touch setting her skin afire, her legs wrapping around his, pulling him to her, his weight
anchoring her to something deep and real and better than she deserved.
Gods,
Vi said.
This takes foreplay to a new level.
He could feel the warmth rising in her body.
No,
he said. I've betrayed Aline in every way but that. Please, we can't do that, not ever. All right? Her arousal was gone instantly, replaced with confusion and guilt. She stepped forward and reached out to him. He recoiled.
I don't think we should even, you know, touch.
She averted her eyes, her feelings of rejection and unworthiness seeping through the air. He wanted to reassure her, but he didn't.
Right,
she said quietly.